Dear Lord, we are so thankful this evening that you have given us another opportunity of life and to enjoy the blessings of a day we have never seen before. We're thankful, Lord, for this medium that you have blessed us to have, Lord, to utilize it in such a way where your gospel can be preached. We pray that those listening this evening, that their heart is open to receive the truth. Lord, we are thankful for our speaker this evening in the person of Brother Gary Colley. Lord, we pray that Brother Colley this evening proclaim those Bible truths that are necessary for someone to hear so that they can be saved. Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bless us. We are thankful for the increase you've allowed us to have with souls that have been baptized, souls that have been restored. Thankful forever for the sacrifice that your Son made on the cross and giving his life and suffering and shedding his blood for us. Lord, we are thankful for the church of Christ that your Son built and purchased with his own blood. Thank you for the ability that souls can be added if they obey the gospel. Lord, we ask this prayer in Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We're very thankful so much to have everyone on the call tonight, especially those of you who are now members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored, Jeff. We thank you for being with us tonight, allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes with a sound gospel preacher. We pray you open your Bible and pay close attention to the things that we taught tonight from the Word of God and take notes. And pay particular attention to that which saves your soul. The information you receive tonight, understand it and obey it. Tonight, our speaker, the person Brother Gary Colley. Brother Gary Colley has been on our program several times, and we're so appreciative of him and the time he's spent in the ministry. For many, many years he's been preaching. He serves at Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Tennessee now. He's been preaching for many years. He's also a teacher, instructor at the Memphis School of Preaching. Brother Gary Colley will speak to us tonight for What Said the Scripture, Brother Colley. What said the Scripture about obeying from the heart? Tell us that.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and certainly we appreciate the invitation and the wonderful, wonderful work that is being done by this great program. And we're so glad of those who are listening, the good and honest hearts that want to know the truth and want to walk in God's way. Indeed, that is a wonderful blessing to have each of you in the audience tonight. To Brother Brooks, also Brother Flounder, and the Highland Heights congregation and others who have had such a wonderful, successful work in this already, and it continues, we certainly rejoice in that. So we are invited tonight to speak on whether or not we are to obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered. That comes, of course, from Romans 6, beginning in verse 16, where Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, said, "Know ye not, or don't ye know, that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that whereas ye were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." What a wonderful passage this is. Paul began it by saying, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then he said, "No, God forbid." He showed how that we came out of sin when we were buried in the waters of baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4, and became servants of our Lord because we arose to walk in newness of life in harmony with his will. So he said, "Don't you know that you have yielded yourselves to be servants? You presented yourselves to be servants of the Lord. And you did so out of a pure heart. You did so because it was from a sincere, submissive, trusting heart that believed in the Lord and wanted to walk uprightly before him." You know, indeed, that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? They had been servants of sin. They had been the slaves of sin. But now, they're not any longer there. What's the difference? Well, they have new management now. You know, you pass by a business downtown, and it says under new management. It suggests that things may be differently handled, differently done. And so it is with the Lord and his work. He says you're under new management now. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye received, wherein ye stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that he was buried, how that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." What a wonderful thing to have the gospel. the good news of a sacrifice that can cover our sins, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if he's going to be the master, would you submit to him? Would you trust him? Would you obey him? And if you did obey him, my friends, would you obey him from the heart? Now, what does it mean to obey from the heart? That's certainly important to us, isn't it? Because it speaks of determining our eternal destiny. So it's either by our obedience from the heart to King Jesus, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 through 6, it would affirm that, or it's by refusal to obey from the heart that form of doctrine presented in the gospel. Now, indeed, he says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it is alive to discern the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. Well, we know something about the heart. We know the word of God is so sharp that it can tell the difference in the soul and the spirit. I know that oftentimes the soul and the spirit and the heart are used interchangeably in the Bible, but then there's also a reason to see them separately. And we shall notice that more in just a few minutes. But we want to know about that form of doctrine. Well, we can't obey the facts of the gospel. The facts are the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But we are to obey a form of those facts. And that, as we've mentioned, is in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Hebrews 2:9 says, we see Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor, that by the grace of God he might taste of death for every man. Well, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10, and his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more diligently than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. In Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We are to believe, have faith in the facts of the gospel. And if we do not, we cannot do what we should do in obeying from the heart that form of doctrine. We can't obey the facts, as we said, but we can obey the form of doctrine from the heart, according to Romans 6:16-18. And this is done when souls become sincerely, trustingly, obediently given to the type of teaching to which they become obedient in the waters of baptism. Colossians 2:12, he said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we were raised with him through faith in the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. Many people say, oh, baptism is not essential. Well, if you walked up to a man and he was holding his side, and you said, well, what's wrong? He said, well, I just had surgery. Well, why are you holding your side? It shouldn't be hurting now. It doesn't do you any good to have surgery. Oh, but he said, yes, you just don't know. You see, I had surgery to remove something that was about to take me away from this life. Well, when we put our trust in the surgery of God to remove our sins in baptism, that means, my friends, that we're doing that obedience from the heart by which we can be saved. You see, the grace of God is given to all who will hear the gospel, who will believe it with all their hearts, who will repent of their sins and confess with their mouth Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and their faith in him, and who are buried in the watery grave of baptism, arising to live a holy, submissive, obedient life in Christ. That's the reason said that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Because he said in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Those crucifiers of the Lord on Pentecost were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Well, let me ask you something, my friends. How about your heart? Is it right with God? You know, without the heart, we can't obey correctly. We are to obey from the heart, that form of doctrine. You know, oftentimes we sing the beautiful song, it's well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? Some point to their chest when they talk about the heart. But you know, that's not the heart of the Bible. That's the physical heart, not the spiritual heart. This is the basis of our study tonight, too. If you're having pain in your physical heart, my friend, you need to go see your doctor. You certainly need to take care of that matter. But if you're having pains in your spiritual heart because you realize you've not submitted to the gospel plan of salvation, then, my friends, that's really important for you to see. Now, the Bible heart is described in the Bible as being the intellect or the affections of man. In other words, if you will, underline this thought. It is the eternal part of man. You see, as a man thinketh in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, so is he. And so it is illustrated for us that this is the man's heart that is in his mind. It is that which is spoken of and illustrated in Acts 8 when it says that, you know, that Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot. Well, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Interesting to me that he was reading it out loud, because no one would have known or heard him if he had not been. But there was a man who came up beside him here, and that man, of course, had the gospel in his heart and wanted this Ethiopian eunuch to have it in his heart. And so Philip joined himself to the chariot. He said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He desired him to come up and sit with him, and he did. And he began at the place in the scripture, Isaiah 53, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and a lamb dumb before his shearer. So he opened not his mouth. And the eunuch said unto Philip, "I pray thee, whom does this prophet speak of these things? Of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. He brought him all the way from the prophecy of Isaiah all the way to the Lord's fulfillment of it. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you'll see here in just a moment. The eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now, my friends, half-hearted belief won't do it, will it? No. There's some who say, "All I have to do is just acknowledge belief. I don't have to really do it from my heart. I don't have to involve my intellect in it, my emotions in it." Oh, but you do. If you don't obey from the heart, you're not obeying completely as the Lord wants you to do. Well, they stopped the chariot because there was nothing that hindered this man now. He had believed in the Lord. He turned from his sins, and he made the good confession. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He baptized him. And, of course, in that burial, he put away the old man of sin and put on the new man of righteousness. Thanks be unto God, Paul would say, that whereas you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. And being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You know, I find that the evil of the heart is the intellect of the mind. In Matthew 9, verse 3 and 4, when certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth," Jesus knew their thoughts, though, and he said, "Why think ye these things in your hearts?" Well, it wasn't that which was in their chest. No, they don't think with their chest. They think with their intellect or their mind. To Jesus' disciples in Matthew 15, verse 19 and 20, he said, "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. And these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." What is he talking about? Out of the intellect, out of the mind, come evil thoughts. No, it's not talking about the heart and your chest. It's talking about your mind, talking about what's in your head. And murders are planned there, adulteries are planned there, fornications are planned there, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, all these things come out of the heart, and they defile the man. You remember Luke 16, to the Pharisees, Jesus said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." In Mark 3, 2 through 6, it says they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, "Stand forth." And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when they looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, or when Jesus did, he saith unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel. I wish I could say to you that they went forth and believed in the miracles of the Lord, but they didn't. No, no. They took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. What a sad thing. And you know in Mark 7, verse 21 through 23, he said, from within the heart now of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, all of these things that defile the man. Ananias, when he came with Sapphira's wife in Acts 5, and he brought monies and laid it at the apostles' feet, but it was only a portion of what he was representing. He was representing it as being all that he'd received from the sale of his property. He was asked by Peter, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Spirit? Well, all need to study the Bible teaching about the heart, don't they? All of us need to understand what the spirit of man is. The heart, the soul, and the spirit sometimes are used interchangeably in the Bible, referring to the same inward man, the eternal part of man. And in the Bible, we find a physical body given to us by our parents, all right, but the soul is given to us by God. You remember? Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, he's talking about the body when he talks about the dust, because Genesis 2:7 says, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, the soul or the spiritual heart cannot be seen. No, no. You may be sitting beside someone you love, holding their hand, and you know when the spirit departs, but you don't see anything. Some have thought perhaps they could weigh it. And so they weighed a person before their death and after their death, but there was no change. No, no. There's nothing there that can physically show that. It is that which is wonderfully given to us, but it is that which is not seen by man. My friends, this is your life. You're writing the history of your life on a daily basis, and we each finish a chapter of our lives each and every year, and the real crux of that matter is we measure our own character, and therefore we measure our welfare. The Bible declares, of course, that it's greater, the soul of man is, more than family, more than occupation, more than education, more than wealth, more than pleasure. In other words, it is the most important possession that you have. You look at the brevity of life, my friends, how fragile it really is. And two things are implied in this text of Mark 8, where he tells us what a man must do if he wants to be saved is to turn from his sins and walk uprightly before the Lord. And he said, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, my friends, those are important questions, aren't they, given by our Lord? Two things are implied here in the text. First of all, we must give up the world for the sake of the soul. Now, when we talk about giving up the world, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about a worldly life. 1 John 2:15-17 says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're not of God, they're not of the Father, but they're of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Now, it's not talking about our friends or loved ones in this life that we have to give up, although they may leave us because we do the will of God, and they don't. But it's not talking about mankind or our friends or even the beautiful creation of the world. No, that's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about worldly aims, worldly principles, worldly maxims, which we may follow. You know, there's much concern over material things, isn't there? Either the change or loss of is closely considered, whether it's insurance of life, auto or hospitalization, various possessions. Or we may have a bank box for our securities because we want to take care of our money. And it may be if our neighbor's house is on fire, we certainly would show concern, wouldn't we? Not because it's spiritual need, but because it's a physical need. But what about the soul? How about our neighbor's soul? What about spiritual concern? So the soul or the heart of the spirit are so important. In fact, James 2:26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. Now the body dies, but the spirit doesn't die. And he said, so is faith without works. Here's a man who says he has faith, but he won't obey the gospel. That's like a man who goes to his doctor, and he said, I believe in my doctor, but I'm not going to take his medicines. You know that will do him no good. Not at all. Well, what is the soul? Without the revelation of God, we wouldn't know. But Genesis 1:26 says, of course, that God said, let us create man in our own image. What does he mean in our own image? Well, he's talking about being in the image of God. He says in the heart. And that, of course, we want to discuss some more in just a minute. But there's a little difference in spirit and soul. I find it very difficult to find the difference in those. But Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it shows the difference in them. It says there that the word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it's alive to discern the thoughts and the intents of a man's heart. Oh, I know that whatever the heart is, it has the power to think. Proverbs 23:7, there's the intellect. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It has the power to love. Matthew 22:37, he says there, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Well, when he uses it that way, he's talking about all of the heart or the intellect. That has to be undivided attention to the Lord's will, doesn't it? Affections. And then the soul, of course, is the inner man, that which is eternal. And the mind is the intellect. So it has the power to think. It has the power to love. It has the power to purpose. Because he said, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Well, you don't purpose with that which is within your chest, but you do purpose with your mind. And then it's able to obey. Thanks be unto God that whereas you were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. So the summary of meaning of the soul is that ability, that inward part of man that has the ability to think. It is that emanence from God in that inner man made in the image of God, and how wonderful it is to know that we have an eternal, immortal nature. Well, what's its value? I know it would be hard for us to ever say exactly what it is, but that's the way you view things, isn't it? How much did it cost? It's probably the first question when somebody shows you something that they very, very highly prize. Well, it's worth more than all the world. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, if a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, he's lost it all. It's worth more than the body, because 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, we feed and clothe the body. We take good care of it, don't we? What about your soul? You know, it's an important thing. Have you thought about your soul? Have you ever stopped to wonder, the poet said, what this life is all about, why you're here and where you're going, when your lease on time runs out? Maybe you've been far too busy trying hard to reach your goal. Would you let me ask you kindly, have you thought about your soul? You may reach the highest portals, and your dreams may all come true. Wealth and fame may be your portion, and success may shine on you. All your friends may sing your praises. Not a care on you may roll. What about the great if tomorrow? But have you thought about your soul? Don't forget, my friends, your days are numbered, though you may be riding high. But like all of us poor mortals, someday you'll just up and die. Your success and fame and glory won't be worth the bell they toll. Let me ask you just one question. Have you thought about your soul? And you've never thought it over? Spend a little time today. If you have not, there is nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole in the name of Christ the Savior. Have you thought about your soul? Ah, that author is not known. But he certainly had the right ideas about the soul, didn't he? It's worth more than all the world. It's worth more than the body. Psalms 22:26 says it's eternal in its duration. It's immortal. It also is said by the Lord in Matthew 10:28, man can't destroy it. You're indestructible, friend. Oh, the body can be killed, Matthew 10:28. But he said, don't fear that. You fear rather him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And we know that it must return to God. Ecclesiastes 12:7, we noticed before, the spirit returns to God who gave it. It has to spend eternity. Actually, we can't spend it, but we can live it, and we will somewhere. We'll live in eternity, either in a saved or a lost condition. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46, but the righteous unto everlasting life. And the value, no doubt, can be seen also in the price that was paid for it. Heaven showed its value. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So, here's the greatness of it. He sent his Son to be the propitiation, the covering for our sins. And the value seen also in the preparation of heaven to receive it. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself. Now, did you notice here in the reading of Mark 8, verse 34 and Matthew 16, that he talks about three things. He talks about profit, gain, and loss. He said, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Profit, of course, talks about what the worth of our possessions are, gain, the increase, loss, the decrease. So it's words that are used daily in business, but the greatest tragedy in life that most people are interested only in earthly profit, gain, and loss. But you know, most values fluctuate. It's not true of the soul. Oh, bonds and stocks and property and money, they all fluctuate, but not the soul. And let me say again that the invisibility of the soul does not destroy its value. No, the King James Version here says, lose his own soul. The American Standard Version says, forfeit his life in exchange for it. And forfeiting simply means he gives it up without a contest. Would you give up your soul without any care whatsoever? Let me say to you, my friends, if the soul is lost, all is lost. It is an irreparable loss. None can help or repair such a loss as this. Now the question here that Jesus asked, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, that proves that a man can lose his soul, doesn't it? And the fate of the majority is that he will. Many will lose their soul. Matthew 7:13-14, he said, now enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many are they that enter in thereat. Watch it now. But narrow is the gate and straitened is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let me suggest to you, my friends, that you look at that word straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, is not what that is showing. No, it's S-T-R-A-I-T. Straight means S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, a straight line. But S-T-R-A-I-T means difficult. Some people say, oh, it's so hard to live a Christian life. Well, it's not the easiest thing in the world, my friends, to give up sin. But sin is that destructive power. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you can't go where I'm going, John 8:21. If anyone's lost, did you know what? It's his own decision. God votes for us to be saved. And Christ votes for us to be saved by his death on the cross. Satan, though, votes for us to be lost. But you know what? We cast the deciding vote. Now, I know, my friends, in John 12:42-43, that he said, even of the rulers, the chief rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory of men more than the glory of God. What a sad thing. Do you, my friends, love the glory of men more than the glory of God? In Acts 13:46, I read that Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly, and they said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you, but seeing ye thrust it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. Thrust away the word, yes, and lost their souls. What a sad thing. But that is what happens to too many people. We can lose our souls. There's the danger talk here of exchanging the soul for something. Maybe we just think we're too busy to save our soul. Then there's evil association, of course. Evil companionship corrupts good morals, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Oh, the power of influence. In 1 Corinthians 5:6, he said, you know, just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that shows the pervading power of sin. And let me say to you, it's important that you don't run with those who are not faithful to the Lord. Choose good friends that are really faithful to Christ. And then false doctrine can be exchanged for our soul, a false philosophy, humanism, evolution, and those things which will cause us to turn away from God. But you know, 2 John 9-11 says, whosoever goeth onward, progressive, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now you can choose a life of sin. Many people do. In fact, this is the judgment. Jesus said that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. No, you can choose a life of sin, and there's some pleasure there. You know, Moses chose rather to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, it won't last long, but it could be pleasurable for a while. But sin is caused by that middle letter, isn't it? S-I-N. Oh, no, it's not God's fault. God can't be tempted with evil, James 1:13-16. Neither tempteth he any man, but man is tempted by his own lust, he said. Or we can just choose a life of ease, not do anything as the Lord commands. It takes efforts to serve God. It takes effort to hear the gospel, to believe it with all of your heart, to repent of your sins and confess the name of Christ with your mouth before men. It takes effort to submit to being baptized. And men don't like that sometimes. But we're living, of course, in the great ease age, the age of least resistance. And yet, my friends, would you exchange that for your soul? It would be foolish, wouldn't it? It would be costly. And these gains and these losses we just cannot escape from. Let me say to you, my friends, Romans 8 says that we are certainly needed to obey the gospel, and we need to do so while opportunity is ours. He said in Romans 8:16-17, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. But you know, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He just said previously in verse 3, except a man. That's not a baby now. You know, some people think they're to baptize, what they call baptism. They actually just sprinkle them. And then people go all their lives. They say, well, I've been baptized. No, my friends, you have not. Baptism is a burial in water upon your faith, upon your repentance, upon your confession from the heart, a full heart of obedience unto the Lord. That new creature comes forth. He cannot see, enjoy, in other words, the blessings of the kingdom of God, except he is born again. Except a man be born again, he can't see, enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. So we have to enter in the straight gate, not that straight line, but the difficult gate and the difficult way. And we are to walk in that way all the days of our life. You know, Luke 24:46-49, we find him saying, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, you're witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Note, my friends, the apostles were the witnesses, not me, not you. The apostles were the ambassadors, not me, not you. The apostles were the apostles, not me, not you. And they were endued with power. It does not say that God just poured out the Holy Spirit. You can't pour out a person on somebody. But he did pour out the power. And the apostles, Acts 5:32, he said, we, the apostles, are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given. Did you notice that's past tense, whom God hath given? Not whom God gives, but whom God hath given to them that obey him. That's the apostles. Now be sure and notice the tense of the verbs there. You'll miss what the passage teaches. You see, Deuteronomy 17:6 and 19:15, he talks about how at the mouth of two or more witnesses the thing is established. Here's the apostles and the Holy Spirit, and they bear witness together. Now watch it. He said, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. Oh, there are two witnesses, whether or not you're a Christian. And you know, my friends, if the Holy Spirit says you must believe, and my spirit says I have believed, if my spirit says I have repented. And the Holy Spirit says you must repent or perish. If the Holy Spirit says you must confess me before men, or I won't confess you before the Father which is in heaven, and I say, I have confessed the Lord before men with my mouth. And then he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And my spirit says, you know, I've done what the Spirit taught me to do. Well, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then are we heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. What a wonderful thing, my friends, to know that we are Christians. And when you know what the Spirit teaches concerning your salvation and what every person in the New Testament did to be saved, and you have done those things, the Spirit bears witness with your spirit, not to your spirit, but with your spirit, that you are a child of God. Been so good to speak with you tonight. We're hopeful that you will obey the gospel at your earliest convenience if you've not done so. If you are a Christian and yet you've turned away from the Lord and from his will, have you thought about your soul? Do something about it, my friends, while time is yours. Thank you for listening. We bid you a good evening.
Thank you, Brother Colley. That was a very plain and simple message that should touch all of our hearts, our minds. So on the call tonight, if you're on the call tonight, what Brother Colley has put emphasis on is the saving of our soul. It's the decision that you have to make that you're going to obey what the Spirit has given us in the Word of God. And when you do that, you're obeying the Spirit. God has given us his Word, and he leaves it up to us to obey. If you're on the call tonight, you have not obeyed from the heart, it means you have not made the decision to obey the doctrine that you read in the Scripture. The New Testament tells us what we must do to save our soul. Have you thought about your soul tonight? Think about saving it by being baptized tonight. Immediately, get baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the true church, the Church of Christ. That's why we put this call on. Get back with the person who invited you to the call. A member of the Church of Christ invited you to hear this message tonight. Tell them you want to know more, or you want to get baptized, or you want further studies. And I'm sure they will arrange it for you. If they won't, just email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements for further studies if you need them. Or we will make arrangements for wherever you are listening to us. We'll get a preacher to you. We'll get you baptized. Or perhaps you want to go back and listen to Brother Colley's message again. He gave a lot of scripture. You want to go back and read them, slow it down. The call will be, it'll be recorded, put it on the website tonight or tomorrow morning early, and you'll be able to go and listen to it along with all the other speakers we've had on since the month of May. You can go listen to them. You can go to our YouTube page, or so go to our website. You can go to our Facebook page. Oh, we got all these ways for you to hear this message again. But we want you to be saved. Let's pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son, who hung on the cross for 6 long hours and suffered that shameful death, shedded the blood that was precious, the blood that will save our souls, wash our sins away in baptism, and add us to the church that it was purchased with his blood, the Church of Christ. Lord, we pray for our visitors, those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray that they've heard this message tonight. They will know that the Scripture is saying one must obey from the heart this form of doctrine, this teaching that you've given us through your word. So we pray for our visitors, pray for our friends, our loved ones, our co-workers, and those who are on the call tonight and not in the Church of Christ. But we pray for them that they would consider this decision that they must make before they die. And we thank you for Brother Colley, for the wisdom he has, the simplicity of his teaching, and the wealth of knowledge that he's share with us from the Scripture. We pray you bless him with a long life and his family. Bless his ministry. And thank you for allowing us to have him on our call. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And that's where you'll find all the information I talked about tonight. We pray if you'll join us next week. We pray you'll join us for next week's Nationwide Gospel Meeting. We've got some great speakers coming on next week. We will be looking at what said the Scripture about the Word of God, Word of Truth on Monday. Brother Mark Libman on Tuesday, the Word of the Spirit by Brother Justin Pascal. Wednesday night, what Scripture said, by receiving the Word with meekness, Brother Samuel Ramirez. And then rejecting the truth on Thursday night by Brother Ricky Sale. And closing us out, what's in the Scripture by adding and taking away from the Word. Great speakers coming up next week. You don't want to miss them. We appreciate you all for being on tonight. We pray now you'll focus. Focus on the first day of the week. Prepare to worship. If you're a visitor, join the Church of Christ, worship, and listen to us. You're welcome to join us at Hollow Heights on Sunday morning at 9. Go to our website. All the information is there if you want to listen in. And we'll be preaching from the Book of Acts. So we thank you so very much for joining us. We pray everybody have a good night, a good weekend, a peaceful night rest. May God bless. Good night.